In this episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, please join us as we interview Gavin, a.k.a. Sixes Thrice, from the Neverwinter Nights 1 custom content community.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
This is Brian from the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, this is Z from Realms of Trinity and ZK Studios.
Arr, this is Kama, ZNK Studios, and from the Realms of Trinity.
This is Six, a.k.a. Gavin, Talset author for Neverwinter Nights, and also a member of Project Q.
And you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast. And this is the 135th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Now, tonight's episode, we got a fantastic interview coming up ahead with Gavin, a.k.a. Sixes Thrice, from the Neverwinter Nights 1 community. He's got a ton of material. He has Hall of Fame, Golden Dragon Awards out on the IGN Vault, and a part of many Persistent Worlds modules and other custom content projects. After a news segment we get into, we're going to go ahead and interview Gavin.
I think I'm going to get drunk.
That might not be a bad idea.
Hey, you know, alcohol, it always works.
Absolutely. But I got some news since our last podcast. Some of it's very pertinent to our last podcast, where we did our first segment on Neverwinter Nights 2 Toolset Help. We got into the first part of that series, and we'll be airing each individual part of the series in between some of our interviews. We also have several Neverwinter Nights 2 and existing Neverwinter Nights 2 servers. They're going to be coming on the show in the next couple episodes, in episodes 136 and episodes 137. We have already scheduled those interviews, and they'll be coming on in weeks coming up, so be looking for those as well. But as far as the news goes, Neverwinter Nights 1, there's a new Neverwinter Nights 1 role-playing server that's just come up on February 25th. It's called Planar Legends, and it looks to be a Planescape server based in the Planescape world. It's a role-play. It's categorized as role-play. You do need to submit a character application to get started on it. Their website is listed on our show notes. It's http://planarlegends.com/forums as their website's still under development. And as far as Neverwinter Nights 2, Kama's got something here to talk about, too.
Yeah, it kind of goes in hand with, since we were talking about, working with the tool set and learning it. We've noticed that Bob Hall has a recent update to his Neverwinter Nights 2 tool set notes series that he's been doing.
Yeah, I was taking a look at it. It's extremely in-depth. It's a several-part compilation. It's on the IGN Vault as well. I'll post those in the show notes. But there's several PDFs fully well documented with illustrations and everything, so I definitely it entails exactly what we had discussed on our last podcast episode, and definitely check it out if you would like to get some more information on walkthrough information on Neverwinter Nights 2 toolset development.
You can never learn enough tricks to make your life easier when you're building.
Yeah, I found that to be the case too. Just the fact that we've been developing for how long, and every once in a while you pick up one new trick or something, because the tool set, it's extremely advanced application, and there's a lot of features that's kind of hide themselves until you really get a lot of experience under the belt. Because if you get into the system, it's for the first how many months or so, you're just learning how to do the basics and getting comfortable with all the functions and things that are out there, because it really does give you a ton of control over a lot of stuff, and it takes a while to master it.
It's also good to see how others approach certain applications of it. It helps you see things from other points of view and just improves you overall.
Yeah, definitely. I still pick up stuff here and there, and definitely think that if you're a Neverwinter Nights 2 developer, even if you've been around for a while, definitely take a look at it, because you will find things in there that you may not have known, or you might want an explanation to why certain things work certain ways. This is a perfect asset for you to use, and also we'll be using parts of it for our upcoming segments. And there's something else here too. This is a piece of software that Skywing had created for the Neverwinter Nights 2 system. It's called the NWN2 Client Extender. And what it is, it's an add-on to the standard Neverwinter 2 game client that fixes various crash bugs. And it really does add a lot of extra functionality to the multiplayer format. Persistent Worlds, in particular. You've probably noticed by now that, you know, every so often you get client crashes when transitioning from one board to another, and maybe even some just different actions that lend themselves to continual crashing, which it interrupts your gameplay. It's not a good user experience whatsoever when those things happen. You got party members, you know, left hung to dry in the middle of a fight or something that's going on, maybe a roleplay session. It's one of those things that the Neverwinter Nights 2 engine's notorious for, but this really does work. I have installed it on our server, and it really makes a big difference. Client clashes are nearly non-existent.
The DM extensions, it's a must-have. For the DM client, the client extender for the DM is definitely must-have.
Yeah, it's definitely take a look at it. I posted the link in the show notes, but when you get a chance, if you like to use this piece of software, it's real easy to install. Look at the documentation on it. It's real easy to do. It also, go out to their forums on the nwnx.org website and give them some props and, you know, support them, because those guys really have made Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, not just 2, but 1 and 2, what they are today with their client stability and server stability applications like the Neverwinter Nights Extender, the database plugin functionality, and a lot of other stuff. We've talked to just about everybody, and without their work, it would be impossible to run a Neverwinter 1 or 2 Persistent World stably, because they really have done a massive amount of work for the community. So give them some props and vote for their submissions. And also, we got something we just noticed, because of the IGN vault, after so many votes an entry gets, it'll repost it to get it close to Hall of Fame. This one here has 23 out of the 25 required votes. But it definitely was something that I would like to review. It's a tree reskin by Ovation. And what it is it's a texture edition reskin of the trees that are a part of the Neverwinter Nights 2 stock tree set. It doesn't add any of the winter trees at all, or doesn't mess around with any of the winter trees, but everything else pretty much has been reskinned to give it a more natural and softer aspect. So if you want to take a look at it, it hasn't been updated for a while. I think the last time it was updated was 11.09, so there may be some updates or things that may be needed. I'm not exactly looking at the entry. It looks like it's been well received, what was posted before, and being that they're textures, I don't believe that there'd be an issue with the Storm is Aether content or anything of that nature. So definitely want to take a look at it and see if it's something that you would like to use for your module or Persistent World, to give it maybe a mix it up, mix the way it looks up a little bit, or add some flavor to some of your forestry or outdoor terrains areas, because it definitely looking at the screenshots, looks very promising. So definitely take a look at it. The vault page is in the show notes as well.
Also upcoming in the next coming week or three, ZNK Studios and the ROT dev team are going to be releasing some of our content to the community. We've been putting together some extra doc pieces, stuff that was made just on the fly for stuff we wanted to do within our own projects. And we've decided that, you know, maybe the rest of the community could have some use out of this as well. So look for that coming to the vault soon, too.
Well, with that, you know, let's go dial up Gavin in here, and let's get started on this podcast interview.
Yarr!
Arr! Well, today we got Gavin, a.k.a. Six of Thrice, from the Neverwinter Nights 1 development community, here to go over some stuff and tell us all about what he's got going on and just the works that he's already done. He is a Hall of Fame Neverwinter Nights 1 content creator, and he's here to share with us a lot of details about his work. Welcome aboard, man.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, definitely. Welcome.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here. It's a bit weird to put names to voices to names.
Yeah.
With Tama, having known you for quite a while.
Oh, thank you.
I was expecting more of a pirate voice, but instead we sort of got drunk American.
Drunk American pirate, yeah, same difference, right?
You scurvy dog.
Hey, it could be worse. I could be a beer-swilling NASCAR fan.
That's true. So, getting started, I want to say Gavin, tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you got started creating custom content for Neverwinter 1.
It sort of goes back quite a long way. I sort of picked up Neverwinter Nights not long after it first came out, and I actually didn't like it. I thought it was a terrible game, but hate on me for that all you want. But later on, I sort of I got into modding from Warcraft 3 and a couple of other terrible games, and I found that Neverwinter Nights had a tool set with it, and I just picked it up again, and I liked it this time, which is sort of, that's basically it, really. It sort of went up from there, but met a few quite interesting people.
Definitely. I mean, I've heard that before from other people, that when the game first came out, that didn't really appeal to people at first, because it took a little bit of getting used to, because a lot of people that came into Neverwinter Nights 1 came from, like, Baldur's Gate and mm-hmm. some of the other 2D, 3D scroller-type Dungeons & Dragons environments, and updating from the D&D 2.0 rule set to the 3.0 rule set kind of threw people off a little bit.
I think, in my case, it was actually one of the first computer RPGs I'd ever played, so it was a bit intimidating at first. And I think, as well, it took up until about the second expansion until, you know, the game had sort of found its feet, because the original campaign, in my opinion at least, wasn't actually anywhere near as good as what was produced after it. It seemed a bit thrown together.
Yeah, definitely the game maturity and people, you know, their actual developers too at BioWare getting used to, you know, using the tool sets that they've created with the Aurora tool set. You know, a lot of that, you know, does come into play, especially once they got some money from the original Neverwinter Nights 1, obviously, that they're going to be able to bring in people that are more adept and, you know, more talented to get stuff developed, and, you know, plus they'll even have money for market research and other type of stuff to get people to know exactly what to do, you know, what they should be developing versus what they originally started with.
Uh-huh. You know, I kind of agree with him on that. You know, I think about it back in the day, when I first played Neverwinter Nights at the original stuff, back when I was doing LAN parties and was heavily into first-person shooters and space sims, you know, we kind of played it and it was like, you know, and then it sat and collected dust for a good long time, and until when I came back to it, was funny enough because, you know, it was to help keep my brother, who was on house arrest, out of going to jail. So me and a couple buddies that were several states away started playing, and we found Arion to, you know, as a place to go, and that's when we actually started looking into it seriously. And that's when I actually, by then, the first expansion pack was out, and it was a lot better. And we started playing, and, you know, it was also part of the community we found behind the game that kept us there and helped us fall in love with the game.
I think the first time I sort of really knew that I, well, not to be dramatic, but fell in love with this game was playing community modules. Because even after the expansions, I think that I still wasn't completely sold as, you know, I was going to spend the next 3 or 4 years of my life dedicated to this thing. But after playing some of the modules, things like the modules made by Festapot and Andarian come to mind, although they're probably a bit more recent. That was when I sort of decided, you know, I'm going to start trying to work on something myself. And I did start out sort of doing module work like that, and then just one day decided, wouldn't it be cool if I had a different tile set for this? And then got dragged into this whole world of making artwork and stuff, which sort of blew my mind.
Yeah, I can understand how that goes. I mean, that's similar what led me into it. You know, I was playing on a world and involved with community, and then I saw other stuff going on. You know, people that, I mean, even back then, I was seeing stuff that you were starting to make and some of the others, and I was like, wow, this stuff is just cool. And when I started building and helping out with doing mod work, you know, this would be really cool if I could make this, because, you know, in my mind, I see a zone, you know, that looks like this, but I can't build it with what's currently available. And that's what led me into starting to pick people's brains and ask them about how to make this stuff.
I think when Wyvern Crown of Cormyr premium module came out, and with all the custom content that came with that, kind of inspired most people as well, because it was just so much better than any of the artwork that had been in the game before.
Yeah, I remember when I played the first campaign, that's how I started in Neverwinter 1. I played the first one all the way through, and then my buddy Doug was, well, one of the co-founders of Realms of Trinity, was, you know, getting one of us to play, you know, some of the Persistent Worlds out there, and he was like, "Oh, you got to try these Persistent Worlds out, and they're really cool." And I did the same thing. I checked it out. It wasn't the actual individual mods like you were talking about that kept me going. It was actually, you know, checking the things. It was very similar though, checking the Persistent Worlds, and then eventually, you know, he kept nagging me over the next couple of years to get into it. But you know, I ended up getting into Neverwinter 2 at that time. But mm-hmm. it was definitely kept me going. Was the community content.
Yeah, I mean, the community makes a huge difference. I mean, it's just great. I mean, what the community content has brought together. I mean, you look at Neverwinter Nights and how long since it's been the original game came out, and the community is still thriving. And, you know, you've got almost a decade now of content made by the community. And it's still going. It's still there, and it's just amazing. Yeah. Okay, Gavin. You know, over the years, you know, us talking here and there on MSN and whatnot, and the fact that you've done a ton of custom content development for the Neverwinter 1 community, you've won lots of awards, lots of recognition. Your content's used in more ways than I'm sure you actually think about. I mean, how do you feel about all that?
On the one hand, I'm sort of incredibly proud that, you know, I've got all these accolades and a bunch of Hall of Fames and stuff, but and the Golden Dragon Awards. But on the other hand, I sort of, well, with a lot of the Golden Dragon Awards, part of me thinks other people should have won them. So I kind of feel slightly guilty. I probably shouldn't, but that's a lie. But for the most part, I think, this is hard to explain. It's just good to see how people are using stuff. The awards don't really mean as much as just seeing someone use your work. You know, if you randomly log into a Persistent World and you walk around and you're like, hey, I made these trees, I made this house. There's something very exciting about that that you can't really achieve by any sort of a sticky award banner on your page or anything quite as superficial as that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, I mean, I've seen, you know, over the years, I've seen other people that get mad if they see their content used without getting, you know, all kinds of props and recognition for it. That to know that there's still people.
I do that a lot, so.
To know that there's still people that are just happy to see that their stuff is used is nice, and it's refreshing in its own way.
I think that there's been a sort of a lot of people quite upset about the whole issue of people saying like requirements or asking for credit for things, and I think a lot of the time it's quite exaggerated. Personally, I do always put on my vault pages a little thing asking basically people not to put things in like compilation hat packs without asking me first, just to sort of, partly because I like to know where my content goes, and I kind of like to pester people to update if they don't update to the latest version of what I've released, just because I'm a bit obsessive like that. But I do tend to have the attitude that if someone wants to use something in a module or in a world, you know, they should be able to do that, because really that's what it's there for. You make content to be used. Well, you make content because you're bored, actually, but
or Brian tells you to make it. You know, either way.
Oh, come on.
I've never had that problem, thankfully. But
yeah. So, what are some of your current projects that you're working on, if you don't mind sharing?
I actually struggle to count. I'm one of those people who starts projects, and I've started about 20 over the past 2 years, and none of them are anywhere near finished, to be honest. But I think the main things that are most likely to actually go somewhere at the minute are an old sewer tile set that I made about 2 years ago, which I've got a lot of emails about over the years of people wanting it finished, because I suppose it looks quite nice, but you can't really do much with it. And thanks to a friend of mine in the community by the name of Tom Banjo, who started, without my knowledge, working on an update to it, which looks awesome, I've sort of got quite psyched up about it and willing to update it again. So it's sort of a joint update to that tile set that's being worked on. Since like May last year, I've had a long running project of something called Wild Woods, which seems to be quite light. It's sort of a forest tile set that I think personally, not to sound like arrogant or anything, is probably the first tile set I've made that I've genuinely really liked and thought was as good as other people's work. So Project Q, which is sort of a large sort of hack pack compilation, which has a lot of content that's been made by, you know, the team members, and a lot that we've taken from sources like the Cody and DLA teams. I don't know whether you pronounce Cody, but I do. And kind of from team members, like past team members include a guy called Mori Khan, who's probably one of the most talented people I've ever seen in the community. Tom Banjo, myself, PSTE Marie. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it either. But we also have Three Cream, who has an Elias, which I may not be able to say. I can't remember how open he was with it, aka Brian Chung, on the team. So we're slowly getting stuff done to put out an update, which hopefully is going to start including more tileset work.
Let me just ask, what was the initiative behind the Project Q? I mean, what got you guys started? Because, I mean, it, from what I know, it runs kind of parallel to what the CEP does.
The main idea was that there was a lot of stuff in the that had come out in previous years that didn't really match up to the kind of texture resolutions or poly counts of what was starting to come out. And rather than, you know, scour the vault looking for every possible thing we could include to try and make up for that sort of a difference in sort of level of detail over the years, we decided to basically remake everything and try and improve not necessarily improve on stuff that has been released, but provide an alternative, you know, was more up to the sort of modern expectations, I suppose, as set by things like the 1.69 patch. And you know, I wasn't around when it first started, but it very much had sort of an air of just having a place, now that the big teams had ups and left, where artists could sort of get together and work on content together, which was kind of lacking at the time.
I noticed that. That's a very intriguing aspect of Project Q for the Neverwinter 1 community, just like you were saying about, you know, you have people that can collaborate and actually work together on these projects and these compilations and places that you're actually co-lacing the work together up front, not waiting down the road to do it later. Okay, we got 35 mm-hmm. 2DAs we got to merge now. Nobody has them in sync. You're working on and you're a part of is fantastic, but just for the simple fact that it's a pre-packaged deal that world developers, module developers can consume and take advantage of to produce high quality products. I mean, I was thinking about before was the fact that in Neverwinter Nights 2 right now, the community is much in the same way, where we have a plethora of different developers working on either tile sets or creatures, new mobs, models and things like that nature, even armor set models and things that they're just not co-lace together. I mean, you pretty much you have to grab everything that you want and then make your own compilation. You
know? Yeah, I wish we had the kind of cohesiveness that they have in the Neverwinter 1 community.
Yeah, it's definitely been it would definitely help a lot. But yeah, I think that's fantastic for a Neverwinter 1 community to have the Project Q is in addition to the CEP to be able to, like you said, pick and choose what they want to use and give them another option of different branch of content, which ultimately helps the players, because the players, you know, they get onto one server versus going to another, they can get almost a totally different experience between those two different environments.
I think it also is quite helpful as an artist, because a lot of the time when you're making work and you're trying to make it compatible with everything else and you're trying to, you know, avoid certain, you know, 2DA ranges and other sort of technical things, it's quite nice to be able to sort of have a place where you can sort of start from scratch, and the only thing you need to bother about is each other's work, because you can slot any other work on top of your own. Then, I mean, at the same time, we have made sure to try wherever possible not to overlap with anyone else's project, but it is quite nice to be able to have, you know, a set of, you know, our own reserved data file lines and things like that. It saves a lot of work. Anything's to work.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, just having the just something like that together that's real nice to work with. I mean, it frees you up too as a artist and a content developer to not have to worry about that stuff as much too.
Because
you're spending all your time, you know, going through and you're having to screw around with stuff that you shouldn't, you know, you could rather spend your time better doing the development and the using your creativity for those types of activities instead.
I think the other thing is that, you know, for the whole pretty much for the entire time I've been in the Neverwinter Nights community, I've been slowly sort of plotting away on a module project as well, a single player module. And while it's probably never ever going to get done, I mean, about a month or two ago, I lost all my files so far for it. So, you know,
I have sympathy there. I really do.
Yeah.
Ditto.
There was barely anything there anyway. So, you know, I don't want to sound like it was a huge disaster, but it's all in my head, put it that way. But yeah, it's quite nice to be able to have, you know, a compilation. Not only is it around the, you know, that I can use it without having to implement it, but in a slightly selfish way, I can also add anything that I need for my module to the compilation, being an artist. So it's quite cool.
You know, we touched on a little bit about the Neverwinter 2 community. Have you ever considered getting into the Neverwinter Nights 2 custom content development? And if so, what were your thoughts about the platform?
I've actually sort of tried, and I gave up quite quickly because whatever modeling exporter I was using didn't work, and it crashed the game. So, I don't know, my computer doesn't seem to run Neverwinter Nights 2 that well. I can run it in low graphics settings, but if I'm modding it, that's a bit of a problem, because I want to be able to see, you know, what it'll look like in full detail. So I am actually, my hands are a bit tied there, to be honest. I think at a later date, I'd definitely consider it, but at the minute, you know, I can't technically run it properly.
Yeah, that's the only thing we do right now. It's the fact that, yeah, I'd have to agree with you on the hardware requirements. I know when I had first started it, you know, I actually had to buy, I mean, a really beefed up machine just to even start just module development,
yeah.
You know, extra persistent world development. And yeah, I know what you're talking about, especially if, like you were saying about getting into the 3D content. I know Zeus does a lot of work on that for us when he gets into the 3D modeling and stuff like that. And it is very CPU and processor intensive.
On the other hand, I do quite, well, really like some of the custom content that's been made, because I sort of keep a watch on it. And I think quite a few things that RWS have produced, I'm kind of in awe of. And Robinson's Workshop, I think, is the name. And there's a sewer tile set that came out lately I was looking at, and I was like, wow, this looks really cool.
Yeah,
I was tempted to rip off a few ideas from my own sewer tile set there. But.
Yeah, actually, we just talked about that two episodes ago, the podcast, in our new segment we brought up. I noticed that, too, was on the vault. In our world, we use the RWS tile set, the one that came out. It's tech that was released in 2007, but even that one's extremely well done. I've never really had, that's one of their products that I've never had a problem using. The walk meshes were all done really well, and the polygon count wasn't horrendous. It actually did work out really well of there. So I do agree with you about the RWS. They really have put a lot of, you know, content stuff like that out. That's cool too that you keep up on it. Heck, anytime you ever get it, dude, we'd be more than happy to have you come on board and do some development.
Yeah. Not that likely. I think if I do sort of jump in, it'll be for like maybe I'll make a sword or something and then sort of decide based on that, you know.
Hey.
I don't really want to get into anything major. I mean, so much major in Neverwinter Nights 1 that I'll probably never finish it anyway. The entire community will be long gone by the time I'm done, I think.
Yeah. Hey, if you do a sword, I'll be quite happy to take a sword. So whatever you could do.
Oh, come on, I made you a sword earlier.
You made me plenty of things. The double weapon pack. But
yeah, well, you know, that's what I do.
With regards to the Neverwinter 1 community, I mean, where do you see it going, and what would you like to see happen?
Honestly, the way I see it going at the minute is just sort of staying there. Not particularly doing much different than it has been all along, but, you know, there's nothing particularly wrong with that. I think the only people who are left now, and I say only, there's a lot of them, but most of the people who are left now are the real diehards who, you know, you could poke them with a stick and they wouldn't move. I'm sort of hoping that we'll have a bit more input from new players and new module authors now that you can buy the game digitally, but it'd be interesting to see new CCers as well, because I think the state of modding overall, you know, in other games nowadays has gone forward quite a long way. And while, you know, there's a lot of really, really talented people in Neverwinter Nights community, the custom artwork community has really shrunk over the last few years.
I noticed, you know, over the, like, back when Neverwinter Nights came out and when I first started messing around with trying to learn my way through custom content, you know, poly counts were quite restrictive. And, you know, when Neverwinter 2 came out and everybody made a big deal about, you know, the poly counts being much higher. But I've just recently, in the last year or two, I've been eyeballing stuff like the Neverwinter CQ project that ups the counts, and I've been, you know, some of the screenshots you've sent me over the course of time, you know, the poly counts have come up greatly.
I think there was a time when I was like making 350 polygon tiles, and I was like, oh my god, this is far too high poly, and now. I have a tile set that's something like, I think the average is about 1,800 per tile, so, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I've noticed, you know, myself, when I get a chance to play with Neverwinter 1 yet, that the engine seems to have no problems carrying these higher poly counts, and I mean, it's I've seen plenty of stuff that allows, I mean, to be... bring Neverwinter 1 right up on par with other current games.
Yeah, I think a lot of the work that's been done by, you know, by Q and by Chico's NWN CQ and, you know, a bunch of other projects have really sort of upped the limits. And I don't think we ever really knew what the limits were. I think there's still probably a lot more detail we could add at the minute. You know, I've made more and more higher and higher poly models recently, and I've still not really started to get lag or anything. So I think we're only really at the tip of the iceberg even now, especially, you know, as hardware's got a lot stronger.
Yeah, I was going to say, when the game...
PCs for Neverwinter Nights 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was one of the things that I always came back to when I consider Neverwinter 1 is, you know, top-of-the-line equipment back then versus now. I mean, now for, you know, $25, you can buy a bargain basement video card that blows away when what spent $500 on when the game was first released. And, I mean, I see... just have been more of a, you know, hardware limitation for what the poly counts were instead of an engine limitation. Would you agree with that?
Possibly, yeah. I think nowadays with sort of like modern games with modern graphics, it's a lot more, there's a lot less focus on making things particularly high or low poly, and it's more about sort of texture effects and shaders and normal mapping and all that, which do eat up a lot of graphics properties. But actually, since Neverwinter Nights 1 doesn't use any of the, you know, fancy techniques, I think it can probably actually handle higher poly counts in a lot of, not necessarily modern games, but not far from modern games.
Alright.
Yeah, and I would say too that I think that was one of the big hardware slayers for Neverwinter 2, because they did have so many of those more modern effects in there with the refraction, reflections, the shadings, the shadows. That really did limit it first when it first released its effectiveness. So
I think even with Neverwinter Nights 1, if you turn like the fancy water settings on, you know, it like totally destroys the frame rate. So, oh yeah.
There's a lot of math going on behind the scenes for a lot of this stuff. I mean, yeah, if you have like a top end video card nowadays, you could turn up every setting in the world on Neverwinter 1, and there's not going to be a single lag, nothing. I mean, and I've messed around with it, you know, as recent as of 2008, and, you know, even when they had a lot of the, just looking at some of the custom content and loading it up, I mean, it was no problem. But I remember when I first started playing it with older legacy hardware, at the time it was decent, but, you know, looking at today's standards, it's garbage now, but, you know, it would have a problem. It did lag a little bit, but now that with the new hardware, as Common was saying, $25 bargain basement video card, you're rolling. You could turn it up to 10 billion, you know, and everything's just fine dandy. You know, even like every so often they come up with all these higher end hard pieces of hardware and processors and, you know, all this different stuff. What I've noticed is even now Neverwinter 2 is getting to that point where I don't even have lag at this point. With the video card that I have, I can put the graphics totally up now. And on some of our most intricate boards, we don't get lag either. So I do think that, you know, hardware, it was far behind where it needed to be for that case, but now is so far ahead in Neverwinter Nights 1. You can, like you said, you can push the poly count so much higher and get more realistic effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, I've noticed, or I've seen, like, I'm sitting here looking right now at the vault and the Peachy Keen's Neverwinter Shader.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, isn't that supposed to help bring stuff like normals and blooms into use with Neverwinter 1?
It is. I've messed about with that quite a lot, up until like the latest version of it, which kind of broke it for me. I'm not sure why, I think it's just a sort of video card-specific issue, but yeah, it adds some pretty awesome effects that we've not had before, like, you know, bloom, so, you know, you can have glow around the edges of objects if there's something bright behind them, so, you know, little bits of lighting when things are against the sun, and blurring things in the distance, and it's really, really cool. So...
Now, as a content developer, do you have to specifically make things, like, if you want it to be compatible with the Neverwinter Shader, do you have to add stuff while you're building with it to make it function?
I think for most of it, most of the effects are sort of post-processing, and rather than actually use anything in the content, they appear sort of on top of the screen. So, no, there's not really... a great deal of what you have to do. I mean, for some things like making textures have normal maps, which is quite a complicated thing. You know, you have to do that as an artist. But I've not really touched on that yet. So now it pretty much works out of the box. But you know, even for the original content, it works out of the box.
That's excellent. I mean, because that brings it right up. I mean, right up pretty much closes the gap between the age of when the game was made and its limitations as a designer and as to what you can show on the screen while playing currently.
I think it's sort of coming right up behind Overwatch Nights 2 in that respect. Yeah, you can sort of hear the Jaws theme tune playing in the background.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
No rivalry or anything.
You know, in closing, I just wanted to ask you if you have anything else you'd like to throw in or anything you'd like to ask, you talk about with the community or just thoughts that you had about Neverwinter Nights 1.
Anybody you want to give a shout-out to or plug up?
I think I've neglected shout-outs so far, so I'd better sort of correct that. I think just sort of getting into custom content, I should probably mention some of the people who are quite sort of instrumental in that, you know, people like Neverwinter Nights modder who made quite a few awesome tilesets called Lord Rosencrantz, or Paula Krantz, was quite instrumental in not only sort of inspiring me to make custom content, because his stuff was pretty much some of the best I've ever seen for the game, but he also taught me a hell of a lot, really, about making tilesets and, you know, artwork. And as well as that, people like Tom Banjo is another one who, you know, taught me quite a lot about custom content. From watching his work and stuff, this sounds really sappy, doesn't it? Thanks to those people. And to a guy called Morikan, who was a member of Project Q, who, you know, I think I said earlier, has made some of my favourite stuff. And I worked on him with some Shields models once that he modelled and I textured for Project Q. You know, even doing that, he was basically teaching me how to texture when getting me to do his texture work for him. Which could have just been just laziness, but, you know, I learned a lot.
I was going to say, he must, like, I know over the last few years, I mean, I've pestered you on MSN enough to, you know, asking questions about texturing and whatnot. And, I mean, some of the stuff you've taught me about content modeling is just, you know, I've got nothing but respect for you. To know that there's people that you look up to... And it have taught you. I mean, it just blows my mind the kind of knowledge they have.
Yeah, pretty much everything I say, I've probably quoted from either, you know, someone like Michael Darkangel or Banner Bloodfist or someone. They're sort of like the real people who've been, they've been around longer than I have, and most of what I know, I've sort of borrowed from their sort of vast stores of knowledge.
Yeah, every time we talk about, you know, when I'm just shooting the breeze with some of the guys here, and we talk about content and stuff like that, you know, I nothing but respect for MDA and you. It helped me get going on what I am able to produce.
Yeah, that's cool. I feel like I'm like, you're turning me into like a new generation of teacher. I'm not sure whether I'm comfortable with that, but I'm not sure I'm quite fit for the role.
Hey, the best leaders and teachers are the ones that don't really want the position.
That makes me pretty good then, I think.
Yeah, and I got to thank you too. I mean, like I said, I haven't actually got an opportunity to experience a lot of your work, but I can say this for sure. I mean, I know all the stuff that Kama does for us and Zeus does for us here. The way you've led with your development and you learning from these other individuals and your dedication to the development really even, I mean, it's making its way into Neverwinter 2 and other platforms. So I just want to let you know that we do appreciate, from Realms of Trinity as well, your work in Neverwinter 1, because it makes what we do possible.
Thanks. I don't want to say I'm particularly dedicated, though. I just sort of hang around and make stuff, and people seem to have this idea that I'm some sort of a Jesus figure or something. I don't know.
One of the things that helps separate you from the crowd, though, is also your willingness to sit there and put up with people like myself that, as we're learning to make the stuff and pestering you with questions, you're perfectly willing to spend the time and teach what you do know. And, that's always going to make people like yourself stand out in the community.
And somewhat opposite of the way I do things.
Cave wow. Development.
I'm feeling so, heartwarmed now. It's like the end of some film. Like the end of the bad Lord of the Rings film.
Toss the ring into the fire.
There's crumbs on the jackets.
Yeah, you guys all remember that little quote there when the day I finally get pissed off enough to throw my entire computer into a bonfire somewhere.
Yeah, I will. Don't worry.
Well, like I said before, thanks for coming on the show. It's been fascinating to listen to you talk about. Yeah, you're welcome. And it's been fascinating, actually, listening to you talk about your experiences over all these years in the Neverwinter 1 community and how you got started. Yeah, I think it's an inspiration for anybody in the Neverwinter Nights 1, heck, 2 community that want to get involved in development and learning. Take the time to learn. We just started a series on the podcast ourselves teaching, going over the basics of the Neverwinter Nights 2 toolset. I get a lot of questions myself from people that, they're not even playing on our server, but they see the work that we've done. And just like with you, your experiences, they ask us, hey, you give me a hand, give some of these questions, because I haven't been able to find an answer. You guys have been around for a while, can you help me out with this? That's the kind of stuff that I really think is going to keep the community strong in the next however many years, because a lot of these new gaming engines and the new Neverwinter that's slated to release late at the end of this year, none of these new incarnations of the Neverwinter Nights franchise and or just D&D RPG are going to lend themselves to this level of modding that we've come accustomed to in the community that's been built. So we're going to be here for a while.
Yeah, and I'd like to also say that as I've stated several times throughout this interview, that I have nothing but respect for Sixes and MDA and a lot of these guys in the community that have been willing to pass on the knowledge they have. I try to do the same thing now while I'm working with Neverwinter 2 and the people that come to us at the Realms of Trinity asking how things are done. I try to pass on what I've learned, because
we've sort of been doing for thousands of years now. We've been passing the Neverwinter torch down.
Yeah, I mean that's the key to the longevity of a community is being the willingness to share what they know.
Well, that's the definition of a community. That's exactly what it is. I mean,
I gotta thank you because if it wasn't for you and people like you, people like me would have to put up with Kama and people like Kama for a lot longer than we'd be comfortable with. So thank you.
I'm happy to take him off your hands. As long as I don't have to, as long as I don't have to change his nappies, it should be fine.
Don't worry, man. One of these days when I invite everybody over for a backyard barbecue, the easy way out for you all will be is airfare's all on you.
Oh, man. But anyhow, I'll give you the last line there, Sixes.
Get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity. We're solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2011.